Welcome to Wicked Wives, everyone. I'm not your host today, Alyssa.
And I'm Tasha.
And today, Tasha is actually going to be the one to tell us a little bit about conspiracy theories.
It's going to be so much fun.
I'm excited. I'm really ready to hear what you have to say.
Oh, this one is insane. And there's actual, like, other theories that spawn from this that are added on aside from the actual core conspiracy theory around it. We're doing the Georgia Guidestones.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of those.
There are so many different theories around it towards the end. I mean, everybody's got an opinion on them.
Okay. Well, tell me about it.
All right, so June of 1979, a man who's calling himself R.C. Christian visits the Elberton Granite Finishing Company in Elbert County, Georgia. Christian begins by introducing himself and saying he represents a small group of loyal Americans and that they had plans for a complex and abnormally large monument. He chose Elberton County because of it being the granite capital of the world. Fun fact of the day.
Okay. Right.
The president of the company, Joe Finley, was understandably shocked the moment Christian started describing what it was he wanted built. He wanted the largest monument built from granite to this day. Well, to the 1979. So an Atlanta TV reporter asked Finley what went through his mind when Christian was asking him to build this. And he said, quote, "I was thinking I got a nut in here. Now how am I going to get him out?" He overquoted. he was like, "All right, how can I get rid of this guy? How are we going to get him out of here?"
Wait, okay, what did he say again?
He said, "I was thinking I got a nut in here now. How am I going to get him out?"
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So he overquoted Christian a few times, like overquoted the amount and repeated it multiple times. But Christian didn't flinch, he didn't blink, he never stopped nodding, and only asked, "How quickly can it be done?"
Okay, that's a little weird. Why do you want this done, sir?
And he never explained anything about it, not once.
How did they go through with this? I mean, if someone came up to me and was like, "Hey, could you do this huge giant statue? Don't worry what it's for, I'm not gonna tell you." How did this get cleared? Like, how? Yeah. How did they were like, and, "Sounds good, let's do it."
Well, and then Christian was asking Finley if there was a bank in town that he considered trustworthy. And Finley was like, "Oh, heck yeah, I'm going to send you to Granite City Bank. Okay. And I know the manager, Wyatt Martin." And he calls Wyatt Martin and he's like, "Hey, Martin, I'm sending this nutcase over to you. Good luck. Bye."
Hey, so I might have sent a serial killer your way. Okay, see ya.
Well, he thought, like, "Hey, I'm getting rid of him. He's going to go in the bank. They're going to laugh at him. He's going to leave." Well, Christian explained everything to Martin and was like, "Look, my group has been planning this monument for over 20 years. So they started planning this in 1959.
Damn. This, like, Martin, cult?
You never know. Like, there's nothing about them. You don't even know Christian's real name.
Okay, that's a little sketchy. That's red flags everywhere.
Well, Martin explained that they cannot proceed unless he could verify Christian's true identity. So he agreed with the condition that Martin would be his sole intermediary and sign a confidentiality agreement and never tell another soul.
Why? Like, why?
All documents and records related to the project had to be destroyed after the monument was finished. It was in their documents that they both signed.
Okay, all right. Tell me about these monuments, because there has to be something, right?
There's more to it, man.
Okay. So
He told Martin, he goes, I'll be back and I'll have the money for you. He returns a few days later, and the money was then sent over from different banks from all across the country and could not be traced back. It was legit money, and he put down the 10 grand to start off with.
Okay.
And Finley was like, hey, you know what? If you're paying me, I'm going to do it. So Finley and Martin helped Christian find the perfect spot for the Guidestones, a 5-acre plot of land in Elbert County that belonged to a man named Wayne Mullinex. Christian paid $5,000 for this land and also granted the Mullinex family lifetime cattle grazing rights to the property, and their construction company got to lay the foundation for the stones. At the end of the purchase, Christian said goodbye to everyone and said, you'll never see me again, then turned and walked out. He didn't give a handshake. He didn't give anything. He just turned and left, and they never saw him again.
That's creepy. that's just creepy. Like, where did...
Well, they described him as a tall, middle-aged man with gray hair and a really fancy suit. And that's it. They don't know who he works for. Martin, the bank manager, is the only one who ever knew his true identity and was sworn to secrecy and refuses to tell anybody.
Why is it always someone dressed in a very nice suit?
Always a nice suit. You know how he paid so much money for this? A few weeks later, Christian writes to Martin, the bank manager, and asks that ownership of the land and monument be transferred to the Elbert County. They still own it to this day.
Why would he go through all of that? Why would he go through all of that and then just be like, all right, here, you can have the land. I don't need it no more. Like, what?
Here, I'm going to pay all this money. We're going to do all this. Have a nice day. Well, Martin said, all of Mr. Christian's correspondences came from different cities all around the country. He never sent anything from the same place twice.
That's weird.
All the buildup to this, is insane. But now we get to talk about the stones.
Okay, I'm ready.
The astrological specifications were so complex that Finley had to get help from an astronomer from the University of Georgia to even assist with the design and the placement of them.
If you can see my face right now, I'm just like looking at the screen, like mouth hanging open, just like, what?
Well, in the stones, once they were finished, they stood over 16 foot tall and more than 20 ton each. They were 5 slabs in total, shaped like a star once they were placed. And sitting on top of these slabs was a 25,000 pound capstone.
Like, what? Why? Well,
he described the monument as a clock, calendar, and compass.
Okay, but we have...
Well... Here's the thing, though. Engraved on these slabs were actually guides for humanity to follow to rebuild itself after some catastrophic event, but Christian didn't give any explanation for what catastrophic event or what they were preparing for.
Shit, really?
Yeah. And on these, there's a hole drilled through the capstone on top that puts centers a sunbeam on the center column, and at noon, you can pinpoint the day of the year any day.
I actually kind of like that.
Well, it's so complex because, like, about eye level is a hole drilled in the center support stone that you can use to stargaze through and locate the North Star Polaris. Whoever created this is complex.
Guys, I was about to say, he put a lot of thought into this. Like,
wait till you hear the commandments.
Okay, all right.
Oh, buckling
up.
Well, this monument, sits at the highest point in Elbert County, and it's actually oriented to track the sun from east to west all year round. And during an equinox or solstice, if you stand on the western side of the mail slot, you can watch the sun rise on the horizon during an equinox or solstice.
Oh my god, that would be so pretty to just sit there and watch the solstice come up. I wonder if you could, like, stare at it. Probably have to use one of those stupid paper towel things that they give you to look at it.
Well, this is where it gets a little creepy, though, because engraved on these slabs are 10 rules for humanity to follow. Each are written in 8 different languages. They're written in Spanish, Russian, English, Arabic, Chinese, Hindi, Hebrew, and Swahili.
I'm gonna say that I want a tally for how many times I say what the fuck during this, because I've said it like 50 times already.
You want to hear the commandments though?
I do.
Okay. The first one is maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And we're a little bit past that because we're at like 7.9 billion people today. Just saying.
Oop.
This, okay. And number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. And a lot of people connected this one with a certain Nazi.
I can see you, that.
Oh, instantly. That was the first thought. I was like, oop. But, and number three is unite humanity with a living new language. And local ministers really hated this one because the Book of Revelations has warned them of a common tongue. That's, you know, it's a sign of the end of times.
Yeah.
Four is rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Now, this one really riled up Christians because of their commitment to faith overall. And they really felt like it was a stab at them. Number five is protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. I mean, fair enough, right?
Yeah, that's obvious, yeah.
The next ones really aren't bad. Like, number six is let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. That one's a little, Seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. Hear, hear. Number eight, balance personal rights with social duties. Number nine is prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite.
I like that one.
A little poetic. Yeah, and number 10, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature, leave room for nature.
That's a good one. You should just do that anyway.
Well, and on the sides of the capstone on top, the mission statement was carved in Egyptian hieroglyphics, Sanskrit, classical Greek, and Babylonian cuneiform. Well, with everything on there, the locals were claiming it was devil's work, and a local minister even said occult groups would flock to the stones and swore that someday a sacrifice will take place here.
Please don't. Like, I mean, if you're one of those that's like, a sacrifice is gonna be... This is a really beautiful stone so far, so like, don't
soil it. Well, yeah. Like, all the locals were kind of freaking out about it because they're like, oh my god, you know, this is terrible, this isn't a cult, this is, you know. And Charlie Clamp, he's the man who was hired to sandblast and carve the words, said he had been constantly distracted during his work by, quote, strange music and disjointed voices.
Okay. Yeah. That is a little creepy.
So he didn't set anyone down. Like, nobody calmed down after that, obviously. They were like, oh my god, this is evil. This is horrible. Here's the icing on the cake, though. Of course, a few months later, a coven of witches showed up from Atlanta and celebrated their pagan rites. But the locals noticed it was just innocent dancing, singing. There was a celebration of nature and even a few marriage ceremonies. No sacrifices, human or animal. But some locals did start rumors that some of their chickens went missing, and they tried to blame them for it.
Of course. I mean, witches breathe, and they're like, blasphemy! She's breathing!
It's originally set up for a post-apocalyptic world. Like, after humans destroy the world with how we are, these are the rites that we are supposed to follow afterwards. And that's how most people take it, and that was what Christian hinted at a little bit. But other people think it's set up for future satanic rituals. Some even claim it's set up for aliens. I mean...
But aliens, I could probably see.
And this was set back in 1979, so people were, like, absolutely terrified of this.
Yeah,
but Christian continued to keep contact with Martin, the bank manager, afterwards to check in on it and stuff like that. And even to this day, if you go and visit it, people are still upset by it, and they are still, you know, spray painting over it or trying to destroy it. But when Christian asked for this to be built, he said he wants it to survive the most catastrophic events possible and still be written out for people to follow.
So he made this, and he was like, here's a how-to guide on how to survive, as if we weren't already surviving? I don't understand.
Well, this is for, like, I think if the world starts to crush and fall apart, and this is for, like, rebuilding what to do this time around.
Okay, well, that's a lot to take in. Like, I wonder why he kept in contact with the banker all these years, but not the people who actually made the statues.
Well, they kept in touch and they actually met up to eat together one time, and it was like 40 miles out of the way.
Like, everybody else is like, you'll never see me again. But this bank manager, why him? Why not everyone else?
No idea. And people were like, they were like, well, I think the bank manager and, you know, Finley were in on it together. And Finley was like, I couldn't afford to build this. I couldn't afford hiring out all the people we had to bring in.
Maybe it's because he knows his true identity and he's trying to come back and make sure he's like not telling anybody. Or, you know, I don't know. Just maybe it's because he knows who he really is.
Martin said around 9/11, Christian would have been around 80-some years old. And that's when they lost communication. And he thinks that Christian may have passed on.
Well, that's great. The only person who knew anything about the stone is completely gone, besides the workers and everything.
Well, Martin's still alive, but Christian, the guy who had this built, is gone. And Martin refuses to tell anybody. This thing weighs 237,746 pounds.
Oh my god. Okay, hold on. I want a picture of these. I'm looking them up real quick. Oh!
Like, you never find anything out about the group or anything like that.
That is not what I expected.
Oh, I know, and it does look anything like what you're thinking it would look like.
My god, so I'm such a K-pop junkie, sorry. The first thing I thought was, oh, that's BTS's logo. I need help. Anyway.
Isn't it insane?
I have no words. Like, why was this made? Like,
people have even been calling them, like, the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist.
Wow, what?
Yeah.
Okay. People are like writing on.
Oh yeah, no. There's even an activist named Mark Dice who demanded that the guidestones be smashed into a million pieces and then the rubble used for a construction project. He's claiming that they're of deep satanic origin and that R.C. Christian belongs to a Luciferian society. So
there's a picture that says, "You will not succeed. Jesus will beat you, Satanist."
And I can see where some of it can be taken as like, oh, wait a minute, this ain't cool, you know?
Yeah. Oh my god, it's so beautiful though.
Right?
Hieroglyphics. It's beautiful. Yeah, and this is gorgeous. Like,
and these ones are what the Georgia Guidestones are also known as, the American Stonehenge, which is a little fun fact.
Okay, cool. I mean, that's really cool. I like the astrology, where you can just go out there and look at the stars and relax. And hey, if we ever have a doomsday, we know where to go.
We got the instruction booklet right here. Yep. It's not portable.
Tasha saved the notes, so we know.
All right, it's gorgeous, but it's insane how people take it in so many different ways and how many different conspiracy theories come from it.
It is really crazy. And I mean, it's kind of sad, too, because, like,
we will never know. So, the RC, by the way, some people suspect the order financed the project since Rose Christian Cross was the founder of the society. That's a fun little one. Sorry, I'm reading all the side theories.
So, I'm just thinking it's sad that people have to look at something beautiful. And, yeah, it's mysterious, but why do you always have to go to Satanism? First thing in your mind, like, come on.
Yeah,
really. It is weird though, like how he just sent money from all over the place and then
tried so hard to keep it hush hush.
Yes. And then like never see him again, never talk about it, didn't even tell him what it was for. Like, that is really weird. What do you think it is?
I feel like it's a group of genuine doomsdayers, you know, who are like, oh, this is gonna happen, this is gonna be the end of the world, and I want to set my children, my grandchildren up, and this is how I want the new society to be built from. And they like got a jump start on it, and we're like, hey, this is what we want our new world to be, just in case. And it could have a little pagan touch to it, I'm not gonna lie. It has a taste of pagan in there.
Okay, look, the only thing I can think of is, you know how, and don't think I'm weird because of this, but you know how the government controls everything that happens, whatever, yada yada. I think this is that. I think that they have something to do with this. I don't know why. I just think the government knows something. They did this. It just freaks me out to think that just some random guy. There has to be a purpose. There has to be.
Well,
I hate it.
And they paid a lot of money for this. Fun fact, yeah. Also, it's made of pyramid blue guy granite. I'm sorry.
Granite.
Pyramid blue. Granite. Oh, here's another theory that's a cool one. So some people are claiming that they were intended to be seen by the survivors of a nuclear war, since the Georgia Guidestones were built in 1979 at the height of the Cold War between the USA and the Soviet Union. And many thought that that would inevitably result in a nuclear apocalypse. That could be a good one.
Yeah.
At which point the world's population would already be below 500 million.
That makes a lot of sense. That one makes a lot of sense. And it also follows my government theory. Because the government probably was like, hey, let's put this here and everyone will know what to do. And I mean, how did that guy all by himself pay for this? Okay. No.
Well, and he said that there's a group of loyal Americans.
Exactly. So that, I mean, government. That, it does. It makes sense. And it put two and two together. Maybe the government was like, okay, hey, so the war's not going too good. Ain't looking too great. Here, we'll put these weird-ass monuments together. Like,
what if all these people were like, hey, you want to see people ask questions for generations to come? Bam.
For real, hey, you want to do something creepy and weird and with no explanation at all? Let's do this. We'll be going down in history.
Here's something. It's all allegedly. They have not confirmed this, but a mysterious time capsule is claimed to be buried nearby. A tablet that was erected near the Guidestones claims that a time capsule is buried beneath that tablet, although there is no proof the capsule really exists and no suggestion of what is written on it. And since it belongs to the county, no one can go in to try to dig and find it.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay. So I feel like, again, my government, they know the laws. If we gave the land to the state, nobody could dig. Nobody could do anything. What if there's an underground lab under it? My God, that Tasha.
Do you want to hear a really funny fun fact related to it, though?
Sure.
In 2009, a man stole a 6-inch cube of granite from the top of one of the Guidestones, and 4 years later, police arrested William Jeremy Ellis in the middle of the night as he was trying to replace the cube of granite he'd stolen. He explained to police that he didn't want that weight anymore.
Oh my God, that is great. That's an amazing story.
Mark Clamp, he owns Clamp Memorials in Elberton. He estimated that it would cost about $500,000 to build the Guidestones today. But Gary Jones said that he's been told the monument cost around $225,000 when it was constructed.
That is a lot, especially back then. What would that be right now? Like,
well, it would convert to about $500,000.
Ah, okay. Still a lot. That's like $500,000.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow,
that's still a lot. Okay, well, I think it's the government.
Man, I would love to know.
I really do think that it was the war, though. It played a really big part in this because the government was like, hey, it's not going good, and if it doesn't go good, here's what we need to happen. And I think that's just, like, a huge factor.
It genuinely might have, because that's a really good point,
that's
too.
That's a really great, because every single time there's something bad that happens in everybody likes to, like, I don't want to say be dramatic about it, but they kind of do, you know?
Yeah.
So this wouldn't be, I wouldn't put it past them. Okay.
That's beautiful, though.
It is. It really is. And I will post photos on our Twitter and Facebook, but it is. It's gorgeous. Were you doing the mandala effect?
Oh, I did not plan for that. I am not prepared.
I know the mandala effect
is a lot longer.
It's been 30 minutes. Not that bad. The Mandela effect, though, was really crazy. Like, the famous one is, like, the Berenstains.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the fact that the Monopoly Man never had a monocle.
I swear to like, God, he did.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Also, how do you spell Febreze? There's only one E. It's not E-E-Z-E. It's just E-Z-E. I had to go get a bottle of Febreze to confirm this. Let's just be clear on that.
Oh my God. I am like looking up. I'm looking at all the... I looked up Mandela Effect. And it's... Jif peanut butter, not Jiffy peanut butter.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
And Fiona Broom, she's the one who coined this term. Like, she published a website in 2009 because she had started to observe the phenomenon. And that's what originally started this entire thing.
Really? That's... I didn't know that.
Fun fact. I'm fun obsessed fact. With
it. Yeah, we need that on a shirt. Fun fact. Anyway, okay, so the Mandela Effect occurs when a person believes that their distorted memories are, in fact, accurate. They can clearly remember events that happened differently or events that never occurred at all. Well, how do we remember it like that then? Did we just make it up?
Like, some people think that it's your brain making it up, like making things easier in everybody's brain. It's like, hey, let's just cut out the work and just assume. And other people are like, well, what if we bumped with the parallel universe for a short time? And he never said, Luke, I am your father in the original Star Wars.
What?
You remember the movie Gremlins, right?
Yes.
There was never a gremlin named Spike.
I haven't watched that in years.
In Cinderella, she never says, mirror, mirror, on the wall. She says, mirror, on the wall, just once.
How do we...
Yeah. See, one big thing is people were convinced Betty White had passed away. That was one of the things. That woman's gonna outlive us all.
Yeah, for real, dude. Okay, well, Mandela Effect is another theory, conspiracy theory, that you guys can go explore if you want to fall down that rabbit hole.
There's so many things that I'm actually reading them now.
I'm kind of sad that I didn't read. There's something. I told you I would, but I thought that you were going to do both of them. So I was like...
I want to. Oh, man, this is...
Well, maybe you can do that in a next episode then. But if you like that, then go check us out on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. But mostly Twitter and Facebook, because I never go on to Instagram anyway, because I hate it.
You can still peek in just for fun.
Yeah, come say hello, but no. But next week, I don't know what we're doing. I didn't even know what we were doing this week until this morning. And then I was like, hey, Tasha.
We'll do something fun.
Yeah, I was like, let's try to do something that's not... death and glow.
It was still a little creeps my creeps, but
it was a little creepy still. Like, I'm a little weirded out, but I mean, it's cool. And that was really good. You did great, babe.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the story. Maybe this will be like a new thing where you take one day and you can do whatever you want.
Start doing some conspiracy theorists.
Yes, you can even do some like witchy stuff or astrology.
Oh, sign me up, baby. You want to start doing some gods? I'm your woman.
Ooh, yes. You can do mythology and the gods and whatever you want.
Do some mythologies. That. Oof, my nipples could cut glass.
Next week, from here on out, next week it's going to be me. Then the week after that, it's you. So you better prepare.
I am ready.
That gives us both each 2 weeks, and then we can research and plan and give a perfect episode.
I love it.
Okay. Well, let's you guys heard it here.
It's gonna be so much fun.
Okay, well, bye guys. Thanks for joining us. We love you.
Love you, bye. Thank you.